And welcome into the program. It is great to be back with you guys. Mike Anderson Jr., Nick Mason. This is the Basketball Junkies. We took a couple of weeks off as the NCAA tournament has been going on. We did a little traveling. Also, too, took a long vacation at the end of the season, but we are back with you guys right now, and we'll start being back with you guys each and every week right here. I want to thank 99.5. I want to also thank hitthatline.com. I've been really excited to get back into the studio. There's a lot of things that we're going to get a chance to talk about today. We're going to get a chance to wrap up the 2017-2018 Razorback basketball season, and also, too, to take a look at the summer and take a look at what guys are returning. How you doing tonight, Mike?
Man, hey, I'm doing good, man. You know, season's over with, but we're going to a new one next year, huh?
Season is over with, and we've moved to a point now. And sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's a bad thing, just depending on perspective. But we've moved to a point now to where basketball is year-round. And we're going to continue to talk about basketball because of the recruiting class. The level and the talent in the recruiting classes have risen. It's now at a level to where a bunch of your guys that are coming in are the best players in their state. They've been the best players on their teams for a while, so you're going to be able to talk about them throughout the summer. And now you have guys that, or you have a guy that had a chance of going to the NBA and has decided to come back in Daniel Gafford. So that's going to be something else that we're going to continue to talk about. And that's where I want to start tonight's show. Daniel Gafford not declaring for the draft. Not only not declaring for the draft, but not even putting his name in the hat. He decides to just come back. He's going to be a Razorback. He's not going to go and test the waters. He's not going to go and get feedback from the NBA. I thought that this was the biggest news. This is probably the biggest news since Bobby Portis committing to the Razorbacks. This is how big that I think this news was. I think with Daniel Gafford night in and night out, you're going to have the best player on the court, and he's going to be able to really, really give these young guys a chance and really be able to teach these young guys, and this is crazy to say, but really give them a veteran voice in the locker room.
Well, yeah, no. I mean, I think that was the biggest recruitment of the offseason. You know, regardless of what else happens, you get that guy back, you know, it changes the dynamic of your team. So, you know, it was good to have Dan back in the fold. And at the same time, you know, you're bringing these new guys in here, and it's going to help to have a guy who has been scouted, who's been game planned against, because as he's learning, your team's going to learn too. And that's one of the most exciting things I think you see about Daniel Gafford is how quick he learns. And so, you know, it's going to be interesting when he comes back and with the mix of the new guys, like it's going to be a definite crazy, like I said, experience. You're going to love it and you're going to hate it at the same time. Like, that's what it's going to be.
Were you surprised at all? And I'm not going to say by the timing, because of course there are times where you probably have a little inside information, but were you surprised when you found out that not only Daniel Gafford is coming back, but that he's not going to even enter his name into the hat? He's not going to go to any of the combines, any of the team workouts. Were you surprised whenever you heard that news?
I was a little bit surprised. I was a little bit surprised because I thought at least he would go through the combine. But, you know, when you can
through the process.
Yeah, right. You know, you go through the process and you get your evaluation and everything. And so, you know, when Big Dan came back, you kind of look like, dang, man, like, why didn't you go through the process? But, you know, this is the thing that a lot of fans and people just don't know about is the actual process. And, you know, I think Big Dan, he talked to enough people who knew that, you know, it was going to be a tough process, so to speak. I mean, you look at a lot of even the one and done kids, and man, they, you know, some of them catch on real quick, but I mean, it's literally 2-3 players. Maybe somebody who you don't think he was going to catch on, like Donovan Mitchell. Like, where did he come from, right? He was a mid-size, whatever, late lottery pick. And those guys, that's the position of the guys like Dan Gafford. Like, you know, a guy like that can excel in just because nobody has any idea. You know, he has so much growing to do. But, you know, you come back to it, and Big Dan, he has – I just think he's a big kid, Nick. Like, he's just a big kid. And people often look past the maturity part. Like, they think about the money. But if a kid's not ready to go in there and be able to take on the pressures of the middlemen and, I mean, all the different pressures from – I mean, different directions. You could speak to it because you've seen it with some people.
Right.
And so that's the thing, man. Like, you know, Big Dan, he's been playing basketball for 5 years. Like, you know, he – doesn't know what it's like to be a top-rated prospect, you know, as far as nationally. He committed to Razorbacks when he was a freshman, you know. And all this has been good fortune with Big Dan. I'll tell you that, man, because you're lucky to get him for 2 years.
There's definitely a mental aspect that I don't believe people take into account, because when you are in the NBA or the NFL, when you are a professional, you then become a business. And a lot of people don't look at it as if you're running a business, and which it's the other way around. Not only are you running a business, but you know, business owners, let's say the owner of Foghorns or Sassy's or Waffle House, wherever, once they leave, and if it's the owner, they're probably not there, but once they leave that place of establishment, and let's say they go out on Dixon, or let's say that they go to the mall or to the movies, wherever they go on vacation, people don't necessarily always tie them with that business. You know what I mean? So like after they leave at night, that's when they can turn things off and they can go and be themselves. When you are a professional athlete, your business never turns off.
Never. Never. It's 24/7 or 25/8.
It is. Right. It is 24/7. When you're out and about, you have to be thoughtful of, okay, who's around me? Where am I going? What are my surroundings going to be? Because the one wrong move, and Ray Rice, for an example, one wrong move as a professional athlete can cost you $30 million. This is one of the few positions that, even though you are a one-man business, there are so many other people that are around you that can affect your everyday life. So, yeah, I do think it's going to be good for him. Mentally, I think he's going to be able to develop. And also, too, if he's trying to enter that realm, Bobby Portis, if he's trying to be Ronnie Brewer Jr., Pat Bradley, if he wants to be mentioned amongst those guys, come back and take this team to the tournament. And come back and be SEC Player of the Year, or come back and be an All-American. And in that point, and in that situation, then – they will put you amongst the greats. And when they mention Bobby Portis and Joe Klein and Scotty and Ronnie Brewer and Kareem Reed, they will also mention Daniel Gafford, and you got a great chance to make that happen.
Yeah, no, you got to make it happen. And you know, that's the main thing, especially for a school like Arkansas, man. You want to build your chances to be able to get there. You know, and we've had enough time to digest the different fan takes and where we should be at as a program and all that. And so, you know, I always find it curious because, you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, I talked to you earlier, or, you know, I talked to you, you know, throughout for the week or whatever.
Right.
Like, you know, we talk. But my deal is, like, you know, you go back and it's like people are just begging to be in the tournament, and you see how the expectations have raised.
Listen, I would have done anything to get in a tournament. I'm going to tell you a little story. So the NCAA tournament is during spring break. Mm-hmm. And every spring break, I would lie to myself and say, okay, we're about to win the SEC tournament. And I wouldn't book a spring break. And my parents or my friends, everybody would be like, hey, are you coming on spring break? We're going on spring break here. We're going on spring break here. We're going on spring break here. And I think this is why I partied so hard before I got engaged, after I got out of school, because I did not get a chance to enjoy spring breaks because I kept, I wanted to be in the tournament so bad. And the tournament was always during spring break. And I always told myself, I'm going to be in the tournament. We're going to be in the tournament. Well, sure enough, if you knew in that era, we never made the tournament and we weren't even close to making it to the tournament. And then I can remember being on the outside looking in the first couple of years of Coach A, just being like, man, it'd be so great to just be part of the tournament. And I'm part of the problem too. I caught myself doing this the other day and I just was like, man, if you can just, it's almost like that prayer you say, God, if you can just get me out of this jam, I promise I won't do this anymore. Right. God, if you just get me out of this jam.
Help me with this one right
help me,
now.
Help me with this one jam, yeah. And I promise I won't do this anymore.
We've definitely prayed that prayer,
and
all of us.
Yes, yes. And it's almost like this, it's like, God, if you could just get us back to the tournament. Not even God, whoever you believe in. Higher
right,
power, higher power, left power, right power, lower power, whoever you believe in. If you can just get us back to the tournament, then I promise I'll do this. And then I looked up and I caught myself saying, man, we need to be in the Sweet 16, or man, we need to be in second round, or man, we need to be in tournament every year. And those expectations have definitely been higher because whenever you win, then you continue to push those expectations forward and forward and forward. And then whenever you have guys like a Daniel Gafford, who's going to end up going in the first round, whenever you have a guy like that to come back and you have a recruiting class, people want to see it develop now, and people really just want to see it win now.
Yeah, no, they want to see you win, and that's the deal, man. That's the microwave society that we're in. And you know, even when they look back at like Coach Richardson, and you know, Coach Nolan Richardson, if I'm mistaken, like, man, it was a whole different time era. And for some reason, people think that you can replicate that. I'm sorry. Let me tell you this. Even Kentucky, with all their five-star guys, can, you know, they get to the Elite Eight, Sweet 16. But if, Nick, and if I told you this, I'd be like, hey, if I'm going to get you the top 4 to 5 players, you know, the top class every year, how many national championships do you think I'll win in a decade? A decade. Let's take it back to how long, and I'm just using that as an example, but because honestly, I don't think Cal's a bad coach at all. You know, he's a pretty good coach to me. Like, I pay attention to the coaching landscape. I know who the good ones are. He's right. A very good coach.
Right.
But my point is,
he has 1 out of 10.
It's very hard to get to that level that
it
people
is.
Want you to be to. They want you to get to that level so bad, and I get it, but they think it's almost a cakewalk, and it's very hard.
And just think about this. If Kansas or Louisville wins this year, then, and you're looking at the last 10 years, the last 10 years are made up of what, 4 coaches?
Yeah.
K, Cal, Jay Wright, Self.
Yeah.
Has anybody else squeezed in there that we're not thinking about?
No. I think that's it for the last decade.
Yeah.
You're right, because Roy's won 2 of them.
Roy's won 2. K's won 2 or 3.
Yeah. K's won 2 or 3.
In the last decade, Cal has 1. Self would have 2.
Yeah.
That'd be his second
it'd
one.
Be
or
his second one.
It'd be Jay Wright's.
Oh, Jay Wright.
Yeah.
He won 1, right?
Or,
and he's back in there.
Right. Or him having 1. It is. It's definitely the same people, but and I heard this the other day. I was listening to Bo in the afternoon, and somebody asked, "What's the ceiling at Arkansas?" And Bo said, "A national championship." And for a second, I paused, and I was like, "A national championship? What?" But then you just have to think about, you're definitely a recruiter too off. Like, if you're able to parlay a Malik Monk and Kayvon Allen at the same time, or if you're able to get Archie and Kayvon, or just Malik, or if you can get Jimmy Witt or Nick Babb to stay, or if you can put Daniel Gafford with this next class, and people haven't even talked about if Daniel Gafford came back for another year, but in which I know that's a long way away and that sounds crazy, but I thought that he wasn't even coming back for this year. And so there's definitely the in-state talent that a lot of people like. There are a lot of talented guys coming in. And it is going to be it's going to be an interesting season next year, just to see how things change and things are different. I want to move on to this topic, though. There's been a lot of talk. Tubby Smith came out probably a month ago before he got fired at Memphis, and he brought up transferring, and he brought up he thinks it's too easy for kids to transfer. I've brought up, or at least I bring it up one time a year, that every year there's something that you can always count on. You can always count on a guy either declaring for the draft early. You can count on a guy having to get kicked out of school because he did something off the court. You can count on a guy getting hurt, or you can count on a kid transferring. Mm-hmm. But this is why coaches always recruit a lot of kids, and people always say, oh, well, where are you going to get this scholarship from, and where's that scholarship come from, and this
no,
and that.
No, no, Nick.
And people always say the numbers are going to work themselves out.
Yeah, they look at the numbers, but then they go, why aren't you recruiting this kid? Or why aren't we recruiting this kid? That's the way people go. Yeah. They're like, hey, why are we recruiting this kid? Why aren't we? Why haven't we offered this kid a scholarship? He has scholarships from all these Power Five conferences, and it's like, well, we don't have a scholarship,
right?
And then, but on the other side, it's like, well, yeah, you're gonna definitely offer a scholarship to somebody who you think it's worth it. And so, you know, especially nowadays, it's just like, man, like, oh well, everybody has those expectations about recruiting, but you know. I put it like this, and it's a sad way to have to say it. Unless you've really been or seen that world for what it is, you realize that, man, okay, well, you know, you have to be ready for anything, because even players on your team are being recruited. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Hold on. Pause right there.
They are.
I'm glad that you brought that part up or whatever. We got about 5 or 6 more minutes. Let's hit on that. Here's what I tell people. And this is a perfect example. I got a random call one December night, and somebody was like, hey, Nick Babb is leaving. Bro, this is in December.
It was cold outside.
This is in December, before conference even started. Mm-hmm. In fact, this was early December, before the guys even got out for the break. And somebody was like, well, Nick Babb is leaving. I said, Nick Babb? I was like, leaving? Well, where is he going? They're like, to Iowa State. I was like, hold on. How do you already know he's going to Iowa State? He's a freshman. And they're like, watch it. And I was like, what? So then he played a little bit down the stretch. Sure enough, the end of the season came. Nick Babb went to Iowa State. I'm telling you that to tell you this. If you think that coaches are waiting for players to come out and announce, I'm transferring, come get me or whatever. Now, there are some programs. I definitely think here that everybody waits, and then at the end of the year, if you do have an open scholarship, at that point you'll go and say, okay, who's on the market? But man, there are some of these programs that cheat, just like they cheat in recruiting. And what they do is they contact the kid, and now they're not going to directly pick up the phone and call Nick Babb or call somebody on the current right. roster,
right.
but they have your AAU coach's phone number,
yeah.
your high school coach, your buddy from school. They have a number to get a message to you.
So,
and yes, current players are being recruited.
Nick, where do they usually go? They usually go to a place that they were previously recruited, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And so, you know, those guys, they have those numbers.
Yes.
So it's not a wonder.
And not only that, but then those guys have the relationships.
Yep.
And players forget why they didn't commit to that school out of high school.
Right.
They do. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden, so check this. If you're down to North Carolina and Duke, or if you're down to Texas and Cal, and or no, we'll do a better one. If you're down to Memphis and Arkansas, and then a kid chooses Arkansas over Memphis, or chooses Memphis over Arkansas, and we'll do that. Then a kid gets mad at Penny, and he's back on the scene, and then Arkansas wants him. He instantly forgets he picked Memphis over Arkansas, and there was something wrong with Arkansas at first. But whenever kids are trying to leave,
yeah.
they just don't rationalize any of that stuff, and they all of a sudden say, well, the program that I'm at is messing me up. They're bad. Anybody else that wants me has to be much better. Now, sometimes the grass is greener, but there are other times where kids get out of school and transfer, and it just doesn't pan out for them.
No, and it, you know, I mean, that's the thing about being a kid, right? Like, I made a lot of foolish decisions when I was a kid, as well as an adult, I'll be honest. But my deal is, you know, especially with playing and seeing where your development is going. And I mean, sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong, man. It's kind of one of those bang bang deals to where you're trying to figure out, like, okay, well, you know, this is what it is, and this is where I want to be, or, you know, these guys might be developing me the right way, or they might not be. And, you know, especially nowadays with the technology and the social networking, you get so much different. You get so much input. Let me put it this way. Input that you don't ask for. And it's always been that way with the homies and you know.
From non-professionals. And here's the thing, too. You know that you have family and friends that are going to have your back.
Yep.
And if you get into an argument or whatever, they're going to have your back and they're going to be biased towards Mike Jr.
Yep.
Because they're your family and your friends. Or on my side, they're going to be biased towards Nick Mason mm-hmm. because they're my family and my friends. The difference is I'm old enough now to know, okay, well, even though my family and my friends are saying, oh, you're right. This is you. You got it. Blah, blah, blah. I still have to take a step back as a man, and I still have to look at the situation and go, okay, are they just cheerleading for me because these are my people, or is this valuable information? Now, the difference is I'm 10 years older than a lot of these kids that are trying to make decisions on where do I want to commit to school at? Yep. Do I want to stay? Do I want to transfer? And that's the biggest issue now, is that we have people that are not qualified making suggestions like they are qualified.
Yep. No, you're not lying, man. Like, you know, everybody thinks they are a expert, so to speak. But, you know, that's the landscape that's always been, man. So right. What do you do? Like, you know, it's just got more magnified now, just what, you know, the way that everything has evolved. And so, you know, especially that's why these coaches get paid a lot of money. They manage all the BS. They manage all the angst. And they have to produce. You got to produce. Got to keep getting tickets. Got to keep selling out Bud Walton. Got to keep producing teams. Got to keep making an NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and you know, that's the thing that kills me, especially with the message board warriors and, you know, not that I read any of that, but, you know, I always hear, man, I got a lot of friends. And so my deal is like, you know, it's one thing to be able to be on the outside, but when you're the man in the arena, it's a little bit of a different thing, man. There's a whole lot of factors that a lot of people just never even would even think to take into account.
Well, but it's one of those that when you haven't been there as a player or as a coach or around the situation, you just don't know any better. And you just look at it as it's a black and white situation. And it's easy. You're at Arkansas. You get paid a certain amount of money. This is what you need to do. And whereas it's eventually it will come to a point to where the program is at a level to where it's on autopilot.
Yeah.
And it just flies itself. But right now, it's difficult for a lot of coaches just across the country. There are only like four or five coaches that do the same thing every year. And other than that, it's difficult because the landscape of college basketball, like, it's changing every year.
Every year. Just think
about this.
Every year.
They came out with a story where they thought a coach was offering a guy $100,000 and they claimed they had him on tape.
Yeah.
Saying that they're going to give a kid $100,000 to play. And the kid and the coach both coached and played in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Think about where we are in college basketball. Not only that, but think about this. There will be over 800 transfers this next year. And as far as kids transferring, I've told people I don't have the answer because college basketball, you only have a limited amount of time to play. So So if the fit is not right for you, I agree, get out. But it's one of those things that if you wanted to change it, how do you change it? Because I don't know if you can make it any more difficult to leave because you got to sit out a year. You're not going to be able to transfer within the conference, and coaches can say, okay, I'm going to restrict you from transferring here, and here. And so I don't know how you make it any more difficult for kids to transfer. I don't know if that's what you can actually do.
I don't think you can.
Right. And so at this point, I don't know if there's anything to do about the transfer problem. So at this point, just basketball in general, the NBA is running the show. They don't know if they're going to let high school kids come out or not, in which they're not going to call Coach K and say, hey, you think we should let high school kids come to college? They're not going to call Cal.
They don't care. And that's the thing about these college guys. These college guys adjust off what the NBA is doing.
Right.
So,
but they're 3-4 plays behind because the NBA is setting the tone or setting the platform, but they're not.
It doesn't necessarily fulfill itself until a little bit later.
Right.
And so you don't see it whether it's 2 years down the road.
But they're doing the best thing for the NBA game.
Absolutely. Oh, that's some money. That's money.
Right. And I understand that. But I'm just saying all that to say basketball has changed, and it seems like it's changing each and every year teams are having assistants arrested during the middle of the season.
Getting rid of them.
That happen?
Go handle those court charges, sir. Go handle those court charges real quick. Come back.
When has that happened, though? Guys are getting arrested in the middle of the season. Other guys are, there are reports coming out, people saying that they have heard a head coach on tape offering $100,000 and both the coach and the player plays.
Listen, Loyola Chicago is in the Final Four. Yes. What a time to be alive. Like, what a time to be alive. Yes. Who's your pick?
Yeah. So, about that. We got about 90 seconds left. I'll go first, and you can finish it out. Man, I'm going – oh, man, never mind. Here. I need to mute your mic and turn your headphones off. Man, I think Kansas is going to win.
I'm not gonna say anything now. I'll get you afterwards.
I think Kansas is gonna win.
Really?
Hey,
really?
But well, so I say that, but man, you know, Bill Self is known for wetting the bed, but they have a really good basketball team.
They do.
They have a really talented team, a really good team. Malik Newman is playing unreal right now. They have the guards. They have the bigs. Kansas is going to be a tough out. Nova's also going to be
I got Nova. I think Nova's legit, man. They got the guard play. And in March, you need great guard play. You know what? They have the versatile bigs to be able to step out and be able to pull a big Ozebuki and those bigs from Kansas out.
That's going to be a huge thing is how is Ozebuki going to be able to play on the wing or like out on the perimeter. Now, Kansas can also play zone. Kansas can also go smaller. Yep. So I'll be interested to see how Ozebuki is able to handle that. The Final Four will be great. Are you going to the Final Four?
Heck no.
Are the coaches going to the Final Four?
Yeah, you know they got to go.
Okay. So, that's something that's going to be interested to see. We thank everybody again. Another 30 minutes up and down. We'll actually be putting these out more often. And it's not just going to be just about basketball.
No, it's not. We got other tricks up our sleeves, man.
A bunch of other things.
We're going to expand.
We'll expand, come in here, and talk about a bunch of different things. For Mike Anderson Jr., I am Nick Mason. This has been another episode of the Basketball Junkies.